WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do. From the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being. Because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
This week, with digital coupons at Safeway and Albertsons, get beef rib roast for $7.97 per pound. Member price with minimum purchase of $50 or more in a single transaction. Exclusions apply. See store for details. And broccoli, cauliflower, or russet potatoes are 97 cents per pound. Member price, limit 6 pounds. Plus, selected sizes and varieties of Lucerne butter, cheese, or Philadelphia cream cheese are $1.97 each. Member price. Visit Safeway or Albertsons.com for more deals and ways to save.
Get ready for another episode of the Life Strong Project.
And now in stereo.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome, family, to the Life Strong Project. I'm your host, AC. And again, as always, I welcome everyone. Thanks for tuning in. I'm humbled and blessed that you chose me to embrace your airwaves and ride on through to your speakers. So, an interesting note before we get into our guest, interesting note about me. A lot of people don't know, unless you read my bio or something like that. My days in the United States Army, I was one of those signal soldiers. I was in the tech. That's my background. Tech. And, you know, when you're in the Army, you really don't, you're not privy to a lot of things here on the civilian side of life. All right. So one of the fascinating things that I learned, if you want to call it fascinating, I learned getting out of the Army and getting into this being workforce is the lack of black people. The lack of, as my guest calls, our tribe in the tech industry. Now, interesting note on in a CNBC article, there in the tech industry, there is around, get this right, around 12% of the industry. 12% are black people. 12%. That's 88% that is, I don't know, taken over. Taken over by others other than us. So we're gonna get into why that is, and how we can possibly start to change that. And my guest today has been on the grind doing just that, ensuring that that number, that 12%, grows ever so greatly. So my guest today, I got a real one, y'all. I got a real one. My guest today, he's an innovator, an engineering trailblazer. He's been in the IT industry for 30 years. He currently works at Microsoft. So, you know, we got a real one. This is somebody that this is just a hobby for. This is a real one. He's an entrepreneur. And I don't want to, you know, blow the lid off because he's got some good stuff for us. But today, right now, I want y'all to give it up for my guest, William A. Adams.
Hello.
Mr. Adams, welcome to the Life Strong Project.
Thank you for having me. I'm going to have to correct some things on your on your intro, though.
Okay, go ahead.
I left Microsoft.
Oh, okay.
And I guess I should update my bio if that's what you got. But I left Microsoft at the end of 2022 after 24 years of service.
Wow.
One thing I'll say as we get started is that 12% number that you're talking about, blacks in tech, that includes probably a lot of people that you wouldn't consider as technology people, like the janitor that's sweeping in the data center.
Wow.
you know? Because core tech, like the people who are actually perhaps writing code or maintaining systems and all that,
mm-hmm.
you're talking more like 3%.
Wow.
3%.
3%.
3%. And just to give you some perspective, when I started at Microsoft in 1998, it was at 2.6%. So in 24, 25 years, it's grown a whopping 0.6%.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in comparison, on those same metrics, you know, if you look at Hispanics, they've grown up to like 6%. They started at the same place, about 2 point something,
mm-hmm.
around 3-ish. And they're up to 6. And women is like, you know, gone
almost
through the roof.
Yeah.
So we meaning the black tribe, you know.
I love that.
And you have to, separate black as an African American mm-hmm. from Hispanic, because mm-hmm. it's a favored thing of these corporations to lump us together
in the word minority.
It looks better.
Exactly.
Right. They just
people
say black
color.
And brown people.
There you
it's
go.
Like, hold on. Are you talking black or brown?
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
When you lump us together, it's like, no, they're all doing good. It's like, no.
Exactly. So anyway,
there you go.
So I was an IT instructor I was an IT instructor in the Army. But after I got out, I was an IT, I was an IT instructor for around 6 years. And, I saw a lot of individuals come through, but I did notice that the majority of these students were not us. There were, you know, the majority were everything but us. You got into this industry, and correct me if I'm wrong, over 30 years ago, right? 1998, that's what you said.
That's when I joined Microsoft. Before that, I had my own company for about 12 years. I've been in tech, if you will, since I was 12 years old, and I'm 59.
Oh, wow.
So I've been doing computer stuff forever, since before the PC was born.
So
that's how long I've been in it.
What sparked at 12 years old? I mean, I'm almost there. I'm 52. So there wasn't a lot of quote unquote tech. As when we say tech today, there's a certain standard, you know. That standard was non-existent
right.
back then. So what piqued your interest? What was it that said, that's what I want to do?
I think I can trace it back to stuff my dad was doing.
Mm-hmm.
He came out of the Navy, actually.
Okay, all right.
And he was a typewriter repairman. So at least we had some mechanical electrical thing around mm-hmm. that I saw him tinkering, you know, and that probably sparked my interest. And then we lived in an area in California that was surrounded by aerospace industry. So Rockwell mm-hmm. International was down the street. Hughes, you know, was down the other street. So we were in the middle of that kind of stuff. And the kids I went to school with, the non-brown, black and brown kids,
uh-huh.
their parents were engineers. So mm-hmm. it was in the air. My uncle was in the Navy and he was doing weapon systems of some sort.
Okay.
And he was the one who gave me my first personal computer. It was a Commodore PET.
Wow.
And this predates the Apple I, Apple II.
Just the word Commodore.
Commodore. It's like, ooh, bow down, man. I mean, talk about the precursors of the PCs. It was Commodore.
Wow. Yes.
Right. So I was lucky, right? I had an uncle. He said, I got this PC thing and I don't need it. I'm getting this other thing. Here you go.
Okay.
And throw that in the hands of a 12-year-old and this precocious, shy 12-year-old geeky kid. I'm going to learn machine code and I'm going to program the thing, right?
Right.
We didn't even have C or Pascal
no.
or, you know, C-sharp, Java, JavaScript. None of that.
None of that.
None of that existed.
No.
It was assembly language or bust.
Oh, my God. You know? None of this.
So I taught myself, you know, because I didn't know any better. There were some magazines around. And there was, we had BASIC. Okay, that was the only language we had. But I didn't use that. I used this. Well, I used BASIC and I learned assembly language, basically.
Okay.
So that's how I got started. It was just like, opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. It just dropped in my lap, essentially, and I was interested. So I picked it up, right? And there's no mentors, there are no teachers, there's no...
Wow.
I had people who dropped stuff in my lap, like, hey, kid, here's a book on programming, or here's a magazine, or here's a printout of some Fortran code. And the rest was just kind of me fumbling my way forward as the PC industry was birthing.
Oh, right? Wow. So you can pretty much say that you were self-taught. I mean, you
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Self-taught. I mean, yeah. So, wow, that's wow. And you turned that passion into a 30 plus year career in the industry. That should be applauded. That's definitely worthy of you know, applause. So here we are back in whenever you started, and you know, let's go from jump from age 12 years old when you were learning the stuff and you were finding out this was your passion, like you said. You know, that the industry was there. I was in the middle of it. It was in the air, is what you said. And let's get to around, let's say 17, 18, you know, around that time.
Okay, starting college.
There we go.
I went to UC Berkeley, and there is, we were just transitioning from flipping switches on machines, literally, flipping switches, flip the switch, enter the code, flip the switch, enter the code, and key punch. You know, cards.
Oh,
we were just transitioning out of that stuff and into terminals, because this was the creation of like Unix.
Yes.
Right. And VAX, PDP, whatever the heck machines that we had. And, you know, we were at that transition point. In the first years I was there, you would go down to the computer room and submit your job on cards.
Yeah. And I don't think people understand, I used to tell my students all the time, like, okay, you guys have this computer sitting in front of you. You have no idea what it is to walk into a computer room. Paint the picture of this room, this air conditioned room, this freezing cold room.
Yeah, in this case, the computer room. You didn't have a personal computer. I mean, I did have a personal computer because I had my Commodore 64 at that time.
Right.
But that's not what you use for assignments. You have to go to the computer room. Mm-hmm. And first of all, you had to type up your program on these key punch cards.
My goodness.
And you have to submit a job. So you go to a window in a door, and there's the computer operator, and you hand him your job, right? It's a deck of cards.
Yes.
And heaven forbid they ever get out of order. You hand him your deck of cards. He says, okay.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
With Vrbo's last-minute deals, you can save over $50 on your spring getaway. So whether it's a mountain escape, city break, or a week at the beach, there's still time to get great discounts. Book your next stay now. Average savings $72. Select homes only.
And you're in line because other people are running their jobs.
Yep.
He takes your, and he's in this room, air conditioned, and it's got this computer that is the size of a room.
Yes.
You know, at least at minimum, you know, 12 by 12 sort of room, but it's probably much bigger than that.
If that's the only one in there.
Yeah. So he takes your deck of cards and he puts them on this card reader and it reads them one by one and it enters your code into the computer. And he runs your job. And the only output you have is the printout, you know, because your program will actually do print statements for whatever the heck your program is doing.
Yes.
And just mind you, this is not interactive terminal, like you type something and it shows you something. I was like, no, submit your job. It will run it. It'll give you a printout. And then you go away with your printout. If you have a bug in your program, do the whole process over again.
I'm glad you said that.
Line.
That was the next question. If there was
a bug, you got to do it all over again.
Ah, you see, the things have progressed incredibly.
Yeah, so that was the first year. By I think by the second year, they had said, okay, now we've got this thing called Unix. And Berkeley was one of those places where Unix was created. Mm-hmm. So they had their Berkeley Unix. And it was way before Linux came along. So they said, hey, we've got terminals now. And so you could sit at a terminal and type stuff. And we had this thing called the VI editor and all this other sort of stuff. So we were right at that transition where we were switching from submit your job to the one computer to, okay, you can sit at your own terminal mm-hmm. and, you know, type your stuff. But it was still not the PC era where it's like, no, you got your own computer, just do your own thing and submit the code, right?
Right.
It was still before that. But soon, very soon, by 82 or 84 is when PCs popped up everywhere, even in 82. They were mm-hmm. popping up all over the place. And so we switched into that mode where, and this is where my brother and I started a company.
Oh, okay.
And we were doing custom software development using Turbo Pascal, you know, on IBM PCs, just creating database, customized database applications to do various stuff. So that was really, that's what happened. I mean, within a short period of time, we went from Key Punch to PCs within like 2 or 3 years, you know, Key Punch on mainframes to PCs in every desk, right? Wow. It was lightning fast. So
going back to UC Berkeley, there you are, this bright-eyed, you know, dreams out the wazoo black kid or young man, and you're getting into an industry where, and I guess the first question is, did you know the discrepancies of black people in tech when you got in, and when did you discover that? Because I'm thinking, oh my God, that we're talking about now, there being the numbers are, I'm going 3%, back,
forget 3%, there wasn't 0.1%.
Yeah, I'm going back there and I'm like, wow. So there you are at UC Berkeley and you're like, I'm getting into tech. What kind of looks did you get? What kind of, you know, what was the
feel? No, there's none of that. So I was so first of all, where I grew up was in Southern California. I grew up in a Mexican neighborhood.
Okay.
So, you know, I didn't grow up, I'm, it's a shame for me to say I didn't grow up black because I'm obviously black. But I wasn't steeped. I didn't grow up in the South. I didn't grow up in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Placentia, California, where we're surrounded by migrant workers. And if you're not migrant worker families or black families that came out of the military, you are white engineers. So when I went to school, of course, you're the only black kid in your class, you mm-hmm. know, and that was true. Maybe there was another black child in my class a couple of times out of the 12 years mm-hmm. going through from kindergarten to high school. So it wasn't extraordinary to me to be surrounded by whiteness, right? Right. It just wasn't. It's like, okay, I live in a white world, whatever.
Right. Right.
I still read stories about Martin Luther King and Crispus Attucks, and I knew my black history, but it wasn't in your face. It wasn't like kids, and this is something I attribute to my brother. There's not a kid in the world that would lay a hand on me or call me a name or anything, because my brother would just kick the ass. You know? It's like, you will not touch my brother.
Hey.
So I was protected. Nothing happened to me. I cannot say that I ever.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. I don't know if you knew this, but anyone can get the same premium wireless for $15 a month plan that I've been enjoying. It's not just for celebrities. So do like I did and have one of your assistants' assistants switch you to Mint Mobile today. I'm told it's super easy to do at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. Default terms at mintmobile.com.
Viewed or felt discrimination.
Okay.
Right? It was probably all over the place. And I didn't realize it.
Right.
Right? And I'll tell you, when we get to when I'm 40-ish, we'll really get into it. But in those early days, you know, I'm a shy, precocious kid, kind of geeky. I'm separated from everybody anyway.
Okay.
You know, I'm in my head. I'm in my computer. I don't know what's going on around me. So when I go off to college, and then we're in the Bay Area, then we're in Silicon Valley, right? And we have this fantasy of a meritocracy. It's like, oh, we can make it. And we did run into discrimination as we tried to start our company. And it was in the form of people literally saying, we will not give you money. And you really just see it as, how come those opportunities aren't coming to us?
Wow.
You know?
Okay.
And that's how you see it. It's not that someone's in your face saying, nigga, please. You know, it's not that. It's just someone seeing you at a trade show and then avoiding you and going in the other direction.
Wow. You know? Okay. All right.
It's just, how come we don't have this? How come the same things aren't happening to us that are happening to our cohort who are of a different color? Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't chalk it up to, oh, it must be because I'm black. You know, it's like, right. No. That's, it's like, whatever. You better work harder.
Well. Which is true.
you got to work harder. And that was beaten into us from an early age. It's like, you're just going to have to work harder to get half as much. Wow. It's like, okay, well, it's just the way it is.
It's just the way it is. Huh?
So get to it. You can't sit there licking your wound saying, woe was me.
Right. Wow. So you graduate from UC Berkeley, right? I'm assuming.
Well, before that, my brother and I started a company.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We started a company called Atomation, and we did software development, and we were on the Next platform, which is something Steve Jobs did when he left Apple for a little bit. We created software there. We sold technology to a company called Taligent, which was a joint between Apple and IBM. Strange bedfellows. But, you know, we did all that kind of stuff. And then we just ran that company for like 12 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And at the end of that, I went off to B, this company called B. And then I joined Microsoft.
Oh, wow. Okay. So let's go to your entrepreneurial stage. So
yeah,
there you are. And again, I'm going to ask that question. You're no longer a student. You're in business, and you mentioned how people would just, you know, you didn't see, and it probably was there, but you didn't see any sort of, racism or anything like that. Oh, he's black. Oh, I'm not going to do business. You know, not maybe say it outright to your face, but maybe.
Sometimes they did.
Okay,
I mean, so. I didn't see it personally. My brother was out there on the front lines. He was the one who went to the VCs. He's the one where they said, yeah, we're never going to give money to your people.
Ah, you know? There we go.
So he experienced it. And we actually did this interview with the Computer History Museum. And he lays all that stuff out, you know, all those discriminatory things that he ran across. And it's like, yeah, that exists. But we just had stuff that was so revolutionary at the time that it just could not be ignored. You know, at the end of the day, people want to make money. And it's like, look, we've got software. It's going to make you money. So they bought into it, right?
Right.
And any critical success, I mean, we didn't become millionaires because of that that era. And I'm not going to chalk it up to because I was black, I'm not a millionaire. Right. It's like, maybe we didn't have the right business plan. You know, maybe we weren't all that. We were there technically, but maybe we just didn't have the right connections, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We learned a lot. We grew. We had a business. It was good. Right.
Okay. Period.
There's plenty of businesses that didn't make it through that era either.
Yeah. Tons.
It's not a given that you're not making it because you're black.
Right.
You might not be making it because you're just not making it.
That's true. So I'm honing in on, you know, you said your brother was on the front lines and he experienced these things and you know, you're doing the, I'm assuming probably the coding and all the, this programming and things like that. What was it? Because I'm sure your brother came back to you and would tell you these things. I'm sure partners. Really? No, he protected you from, wow.
Yep. Wow. He's like, you need to code.
Wow.
Code your ass off, my brother.
Wow. Oh, wow. That's...
So I was really protected. You know, kudos to my brother. Because if he would have told me all that stuff, I would have been like, forget all this. Let's go.
Wow. Because that was the question. That's where I was going. What kept you guys going? And your brother. Wow. Just pure
focus, fortitude, and just orneriness, right? It's like, I don't know why we're not. I mean, we got a lot of good deals. So my brother was able to overcome a lot of things. So we were in places where it's like, really? You know, I mean, like we were helping Steve Jobs land some of their biggest sales at that time because of our software, right? So just think about that. A couple of black dudes and our little company were helping Steve Jobs land sales.
Wow.
Okay, well, we must be doing something right.
Okay. Wow.
Right? And we were invited into various things and we were in important positions, you know, and we were in it. We were in it as much as anybody else was in it. But a key thing to being able to achieve in the face of the adversities that we face, you have to know what your mission is.
Okay.
Clearly, right? You had to be convicted. You had to be. I mean, we were eating chipperoo cookies and popcorn for lunch.
Wow.
For a couple of years because we believed so much in our mission. Wow. Right. It's like we were in it. I mean, we were going to make it. And then you have to just you have to perfect your craft. Mm-hmm. Right. You can't show up mediocre and expect that people are just going to let you in because you're black.
Right.
Right. It's like, well, first of all, I don't care what your color is. Master your craft.
Master the craft. Know what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, you better know what you're supposed to be doing. And then we can talk about how we're going to beat you down because of your color. And why we're only going to give you $80 instead of $100. Oh, but goodness. Know your craft first.
Oh, man.
If you don't know your craft, you're not even going to get in the door.
Oh my God. Woo. So okay, now that you went there. you went there. Let's fast forward. So let's talk DEI. And for those that don't know what DEI is, that's
for a second there.
What's that?
The connection dropped for a second.
Oh, there. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's talk deep. Let's fast forward. Let's talk about DEI today.
You're gonna jump over 20 years of history.
No, we're gonna go back. Okay. But you stepped on a landmine that has to be addressed. So right. Just the fact that you mentioned also the disparity in pay, and you know just the disparity. Period. Diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is right about now, it's huge. No pun intended in that huge, but
but the ship comes and goes. I mean, when you talk DE&I, it's an ebb and flow. I mean, right now, if you go to any company and say DE&I, they're like, nah, not now. We're kind of, you know, in the middle of things.
You're listening to the Life Strong Project.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance tech at a university, he knows ordering from multiple suppliers takes time away from keeping their arena up and running. That's why he counts on Grainger to get everything he needs, from lighting and HVAC parts to plumbing supplies, all in one place. And with fast, dependable delivery, he's stocked and ready for the next tip-off. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We're back at the Life Strong Project.
All right, so let's talk DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And as you were saying, it ebbs and flows. All right.
Yeah. I mean, when you're in the mindset of the mega corporations, you know, they get pressure every once in a while. And it's usually around some big event. Mm-hmm. The last round was, you know, George Floyd.
George Floyd, right.
So they get a conscious for a while because shareholders are demanding it and they offer up money and, you know, we're going to hire more women and minorities, which is very important because women and minorities. Women means white women. Mm-hmm. It does not mean black women.
Not black women.
It means white women first. And then it means other kind of women and minorities. Mm. They always stick with the woman part and the minority part kind of comes and goes. So it's a hard challenge because it's like, unless they make it an imperative of the business, mm-hmm. like this is your way that you're going to grow the total addressable market is by hiring in people that represent that market. Unless you do that, you're just doing a numbers game and they'll have a diversity officer and they won't give them any power to actually do anything. And they'll do a checkbox game. It's like, oh yeah, we went to Howard. We went to Brown. We went to, you know, the HBCUs. They're not going to hire any more than they would normally because everyone else is doing the same thing.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, but you got to beat the drum, right? It's like, look at all these things we're doing. And then are the cameras off? Okay, look, y'all, times are tough right now and y'all gotta go. And that's what happened in the current economic downturn, you know, in the last two or three years after COVID. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, well, we just need the most serious people here now, so last in first out.
That's
and it's true. I mean, that's what happened. So this is why I don't try to emphasize that methodology. What I try to emphasize is it's a game. I mean, you have to take it for what it is. You have to get people in and you got to get them there long enough so that they can become the hiring managers so that 5-10 years down the line, they're hiring people of their tribe, just right. like the current people are.
Right.
That's how you have to do it. You can't ride too hard on the, please, kind sir, let me in because I'm brown.
Right.
You know, it's like, no. First of all, perfect your craft, mm-hmm. and then get some people on the inside so that they can start hiring. But you have to have, it has to be value-based. You can't just, right. It's hard to ride in on a social conscience because that doesn't last very long.
Right. So let's go back, because I said I was going to go back, right? I needed you to talk DEI for this question right here.
All right.
Back then, there was no DEI.
No,
there was no DEI. So there you are after your company, you know, after you come, you said you started working for, it wasn't Microsoft yet. Was
Oh, there's 2 years in there. There's this one company called B Incorporated.
Okay, that's right. You said B.
We can ignore them.
So,
and then I started Microsoft in 98.
So let's talk. Well, let's go jump into Microsoft. So there was no DEI. All right. They could have cared less, you know, that there was only at this point, what was it? 2.6? What?
2.6. And at that time there was complaints about discrimination.
Right.
It settled a big lawsuit. Right. As I joined the company, there was a black dude. I think he was in sales who was like, I'm leaving the company. I'm going to sue him for discrimination, blah, blah, blah. Are you in? I was like, I don't know you, you know, it seems okay to me, you know, I was like, fine. And they settled that. And it ended up being like $100 million. Microsoft is going to spend on stuff, you know, improving the chances of minorities and women to come into the company.
Right. Now, did you?
And then it was kind of like, okay, that's that. Now let's get back to coding. Right.
So did you see that $100 million at work at all? I mean,
No, okay. 100 million to a company that size is nothing. Oh, okay. It gets filtered out to various organizations. Mm-hmm. By the time anyone sees it, it's $10,000 grants, which are gone in a day. And that's it, right? That's no money whatsoever. That's guilt money. So it's a completely ineffectual amount of money for a company that size. And it gets diluted into so many organizations that it's just meaningless. Right. You know, it's a gesture and that's it.
Right.
Right. It's not going to move the needle.
Just eye candy at that point.
You got the press, you know, you satisfied the shareholders, you move on.
Yeah.
This is going to be kind of rough for my Microsoft people who are still at Microsoft, but it's the truth.
Okay. There you are, Microsoft. After, you know, there's a lawsuit as soon as you get there. So there you are. And you know, I'm sure at this point there has to be some sort of feeling that you have quote unquote made it. I mean, it's Microsoft. There has to be some sort of elation, some sort of satisfaction that the work that you have put in so far up to this
point. Not immediately. I would say the biggest things that happen to you when you join a mega corporation, and I distinguish them from the smaller companies, Microsoft, Google, Amazon, Facebook, you know, these big guys, right? Mm-hmm. The first thing you feel is probably imposter syndrome. You know, I can't believe I'm here.
Mm.
Right. Even though you were tops in this and tops in that, and I'm VP of engineering of my own company, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, so is everybody else. So are they going to find out I'm not as smart as they think I am? Wow. Right. Imposter syndrome is the first thing you feel.
Okay.
And that can last a long time. I entered when I was 30 something. I would say it wasn't until I was about 40. That I was sitting on a beach one day in Hawaii, and I kind of went, no, I'm good.
Wow.
You know, it took a while.
Wow.
It took a while. And it's because you're also, so you're looking around because like, oh, did I really make it into this elite force? And it takes a while just to see that, well, everyone else is just human too. Mm-hmm. Right. And yeah, I am as smart as they are. You know, I'm every bit a genius as they are. And to relax off of you're being highly compensated and your bonus or not bonus. So you put a lot of value into these external validators, right? Review. Did you get that bonus? Right. Did you not get the bonus? Did you get that stock? How come they got more stock than me? Maybe they're better than me. So you wrap a lot into these external validators. And it takes a while to back off of that and find truly who you are. To be able to say, well, the review is just the review. That's your opinion of my performance. And all it means is you're going to give me enough money to buy a car, a really good car or an okay car. You know, that's the difference.
Okay.
So what does this mean? It's meaningless. It has nothing to do with me. And it certainly has nothing to do with my tribe. Right.
Right.
So it takes a while to really have it sink in and put it in its place. It's like, yes, you've arrived, but you've arrived to what? Right? You've arrived to bigger paychecks, which is great. You know, that's a fantastic thing.
Fantastic. Right? Say it again.
You've arrived to bigger paychecks, and that's a fantastic thing. But it's not the end of the road, and it's not your complete story.
Okay.
Right? At some point, I got there, and it's like, okay, now I can relax because I have arrived. You know, I am all that. I have something of value, and it's not just my ability to make this company more money. It's my ability to pull in other people from my tribe.
Wow. Right? Okay. All right.
So when I reached 40-something, I really spent a lot of time after that focused on each one teach one. Let me pull the next person in.
Right.
Right. Let me help the one that's already here. Right.
Right.
Let's be collective and let's think beyond Megacorp. Like, okay, after we're done here, what are we doing? Well, we're starting our own companies. Right. And how do we do that? What do we need to set up in order for that to become a reality? Because that's really important. Because you're not going, you know, you're not going to be here forever.
Well,
right.
Hopefully, you have that forethought. Hopefully.
Yeah. So this is what I mean. You asked me how did it feel getting in. You made it. It's like it was a journey, right? Wow. It was the first years. I must say, is imposter syndrome was the dominant feeling. Mm-hmm. And this is what people even today tell me. Even though I help bring them in, the first thing they feel is imposter syndrome.
Wow.
And it takes a while to get out of that mentality and just to be who you are and achieve because you're awesome.
Right. Now, right? This imposter syndrome, do you think it's just us or is it anybody?
Anybody.
Okay.
Anybody, but it's us even more because you're the only one there.
Wow.
Okay. Right? It's like at Microsoft, yeah, I would say at least for the first... I was there for 24 years. At least the first 12 years, I never worked with another Black person.
Wow.
There was one Black person who was a tester in a team that I was in, and that's it. And I didn't work directly with them. So in the first 12 years, yeah, I'm just thinking through it. It's like, 12 years? Really, William? That's kind of harsh. I was like, no, that's really, yeah, at least the first 12 years. Not a single Black person that I work with. And I probably saw a handful. Now, they existed. They were just in different places from where I was.
Right. But clearly
the numbers were such.
Yeah.
Wow. That's like, really? How could you possibly be in a building where there's not more Black people? It's like, it just was.
Wow.
Now, you go there today, it's not like that. There's actually, they have made progress. I mean, perhaps it's only 0.6%, but it's dramatically different now. They do, in fact, spend a lot of time at the college level bringing in a lot more color. So it looks different. You walk around campus. I was just at lunch with someone the other day, and we're at some restaurant around Microsoft, and we're like,
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance tech at a university, he knows ordering from multiple suppliers takes time away from keeping their arena up and running. That's why he counts on Grainger to get everything he needs, from lighting and HVAC parts to plumbing supplies, all in one place. And with fast, dependable delivery, he's stocked and ready for the next tip-off. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There's a lot of Black people here.
Well, I guess if you compare the two eras.
Yes, if you compare the two eras, it's like, you wouldn't have said that in 98.
Right,
for
right.
Sure.
If it was just two of you, of course.
Yeah, and now it's like, oh, you go to this restaurant and there's a whole group of like 10 Black people right there. It's like, wow. You never would have seen that back then.
Wow.
Right?
That is...
So at least they're getting them in. And it gets sticky eventually. So
based on your experience, I mean, you were there at Microsoft for so long, and one, there's, before I even jump to that, I want to say that there was something you said when you said, you know, when you went through the whole sounded like 5+ years of imposter syndrome, and then you finally were to a point where you said, I'm all that.
Yeah.
That right there, I think a lot of times we are afraid to tell ourselves that we're all that because we don't want people to view us as conceited,
arrogant.
Arrogant. Right, right.
Yeah.
And, oh, you don't say that. But you embraced it. You said, no, I'm all that. And probably a bag of chips.
Yeah, and it was a couple of things that happened. First of all, when you're, and of course, if we were a couple of Black women, we'd be nodding for sure. Mm-hmm. It's like when you stand up and show surety, confidence, people will take it as arrogance, loudmouth, you know, threatening, mm-hmm. right? But if you were white, they wouldn't. They'd be, yeah, he's confident, he's sure, wow. you know.
Yep.
Exact same behavior is viewed differently because of who you are, right? Because of your DNA.
Yep.
So we have to at least internally say, no, I am all that. And I took the thing my mom, really it was my mom, told me when we were younger, you know, you got to work twice as much to get half as much, this thing, right? And I finally, at some point, said, I'm done with that, right? I am smart enough. I deserve more. Mm-hmm. I do not need to work twice as hard to get half as much. I'm good enough, right? So it's a putting away the childhood thing that you were told, which is your place in the world is this, and saying I deserve better, right? Wow. I am smart enough. I am here. I'm probably smarter than a lot of people here because I had to work harder to get here than they did.
Exactly. Yes.
Right. So if anything, it's that. It's just recognizing. Now, I don't call it arrogance at all. It's like I look at my accomplishments stand on their own. I have the patents for doing certain things in computing. I had the customers. I worked with Steve Jobs. It's like I have a pedigree that's better than a lot of people that are there.
Wow.
Right. And I just got to stand by it and say, no, you're good. You are, in fact, good.
Wow. You have, as you would say, you have perfected your craft.
I have perfected my craft. And a lot of these people around me have not.
Wow. You know, I've noticed that, too. A lot. You go on in your journey and you see a lot of people come in and you're like, how?
Why?
Yeah. Like, I'm like, how are not before we even get to the why? How did you get here? Like, yeah. I never could have gotten this job if
I were like you.
Yeah. So wow. So then again, I guess you figure out the how. There's the how.
You look at them and let's just do the reverse. You look at them and you say affirmative action. They had a friend in a high place, and that's how they got in.
Yes, right? Yes, yes.
You know, they look at us and say affirmative action. It's like, hold on.
I'm like affirmative action. I should be up there somewhere. I shouldn't even be here at this level.
What do you have? So you know, it's just taking account of where you are and recognizing, because you also recognize that you're going to be your best advocate. You're going to be your best cheerleader. You can't necessarily assume that anyone else is going to notice and give you that attaboy and, oh, this has been unfair to you. Let's move your line. It's like, no, you got to be your best advocate, right? So it starts with at least recognizing your own value and being okay with that. It's like, no, I'm a value.
Wow. getting back to the whole corporation piece. So if you could say something to a corporation, like, any man or all of them, let's just put it out there. Let's speak to all of them. How could they be? What could they do? Or how could they bring in more people of color? I mean, what's that thing that they're missing? And I'm not going to say all of them. Maybe there are some out there that are. You mentioned Microsoft. Hey, there's a whole lot more black people there.
Yeah.
But there are tons of others. So what's that one piece? If this was a puzzle, what's the piece they're missing?
Yeah, the piece they're missing is, I kind of mentioned it, is making diversity a business imperative and recognizing the value, the true value of diversity. And there's a lot of people who will say, well, you know, studies have shown that a diverse team is more productive, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, let's make it even more concrete, right? Mm-hmm. You're trying to sell, and this is particularly because now we're all in on AI.
Oh boy, that's for another show. What?
You're trying to sell into a particular community, total addressable market, right? Mm-hmm. Let's imagine you're selling video editing software.
Okay.
All right. Now, if you limit yourself to people who have two hands. There's only so many people in the world that you can address. No, it may be 90% of the world everyone has two hands.
Right.
There's 2% that only have one hand. All right. in order to get that 2%, because you've saturated the rest of the market, mm-hmm. right? You got the rest of the market. You're gonna go for that 2%. Mm-hmm. Are you going to develop that software for that 2% using engineers, designers, project managers who have two hands? Or are you going to go to and find some one-handed people and say, could you help us out? Could you help us design for one-handed people? Mm. Now, your two-handed people are really smart. They can just figure it out. They can imagine, right?
Right.
Or you could hire the one-handed person, right? Create a diverse, quote, diverse team, hire some one-handed people,
right.
And you're going to get the 2% because they're going to design better. Right,
because they have
what they need.
I'm about to say they have the first-hand knowledge.
No pun intended. One-handed knowledge.
No pun intended. I promise you. But they have the experience and the knowledge.
They have the experience.
Right.
So you're looking for experiential diversity. Okay. That's first and foremost, because you can tell a company that it's like, look, if you want to increase your total addressable market, you need to get some perspectives up in here that are different from what you have, right? Or you're not going to get them. Or the people who do go after that diversity of experience, they're going to beat you. Wow. So it's a business imperative to have a diversity of perspectives, all right?
Wow.
Now, it just so happens that's wrapped up in some DNA diversity because it actually equates to some socioeconomic diversity.
Okay.
Right. It's often the case that certain DNA classes match certain economics structures. So if you want to sell to farmers in Kenya, you better get some farmers on your team or you're not going to be able to talk to them.
Right.
Right.
Wow.
So this is what I tell companies. It's like, if you want true diversity, make it a business imperative, make it a core part of why you're a business objective. If the only objective is to check box a list of we got 10 blacks, 5 Mexicans, 2 Pacific Islanders, don't even bother. You know, I mean, it's not worth it because you're just going to hire them. You will not put them in positions of authority at all, you know, and within a couple of years, they'll be gone because they're going to be disenfranchised and disillusioned. Mm-hmm. So don't waste your time. Don't waste their time.
Wow.
Right. So Microsoft and everybody else does the same thing. They run on down to Brown. They run on down to the HBCUs. They literally fill up a bus of people, bring them back, say, we hired 400 blacks. What happened to them after that? No one knows. They're gone. Yeah. They're gone within a year or two.
Yeah.
Because they were given, they say, we don't know what job you're going to do, whatever.
Wow.
And they're gone because they weren't set up for success. They were just hired. They were just set up so that someone could check a box. We hired them.
Wow.
Our report looks good, and then they're gone.
So I'm hearing you talk, and it's not just enough that what you're saying. One of the things you're telling these corporations, it's not just enough just to hire us. That's like 1%.
That's just opening the door.
That's 1% of the whole picture that we're trying to paint here. You hired us, but what else do we want these corporations to do?
You're listening to the Life Strong Project.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
Positive stories, positive people, positive lives. The Life Strong Project.
What else do we want these corporations to do?
Yeah, you got to have a plan. I mean, just like with any talent, right? You have to have a regular plan, and it can't be the DE&I plan. It's like, I didn't hire you on the DE&I plan. I hired you.
Right.
You know, sure, I used my... DE&I incentive to go to these colleges that I wouldn't normally go to, but I hired you. And now I have to treat you like I would treat the rest of the people. I have to have a plan for your development. And it's not enough to just say, well, your career is your own. Just, you know, jump in and start swimming. It's like, you hired them, but you had to build bridges.
Wow.
Right? Mm-hmm. You have to recognize that, yeah, they came from River Green College, so they're not going to have the 2 years of operating system development that the person that came from UC Berkeley has. Mm-hmm. So you need to augment that somehow. But they do have better collaboration skills. So how can we leverage that? Right? Maybe it's what role you put them in first. Maybe they're a technical program manager instead of a developer to start. Right? So you have to think about, where did I get my talent from? What skills do they have? How do I evolve them? I need a development plan for them. Mm-hmm. And you want to do that because it's expensive to hire people.
Yes.
Right? So replacing them is even more expensive. So why wouldn't you spend the money to get the best out of your investment? Right?
Wow.
So that's what you tell companies. It's like, have a plan. It's like, yeah, you crack the door open. That's nice. But you need to have an actual plan for people development. And that goes for all of your people.
Right. And so you're telling the corporations to have a plan.
Yeah.
Let's just hypothetical. Hypothetical now. Okay, hypothetical. I'm 18 years old. Don't laugh. No. I'm 18 years old or maybe let's say 22. Or, you know, 21, 22, I'm about to graduate college or whatever.
Yeah.
And I know this is, I've got the same passion as William A. Adams here. I got the same passion. I got the same drive. And I know tech is where I want. What's the piece? What's the information? What's the data that you would give that individual that's looking to make that move into tech?
Well, the cool thing about this question is the answer I give today is actually different than the answer I gave just 2 years ago.
Okay.
And the difference is the rise of AI. All right. Now, 2 years ago, I would have said, go learn you some C#, JavaScript, HTML, Python, build some web pages, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's where things were at that time. Nowadays, it's like, first of all, learn you some ChatGPT or something like it.
Right.
Right. Any one of those large language model chat things will do. Right. Learn that first because it's a new tool and you need to learn the new tools. You can't show up to the interview with your ox yoke. When the other guy shows up on his John Deere tractor. Yeah,
exactly.
Right? So it's like, I went to 4-year college. I got this nice ox yoke. I'll plow your fields. Like, that guy will do it in 10 minutes. You're going to take like 2 days. So you need to learn the modern tools. And if you're pre-college, I would say learn the tools and see what the jobs are like before you even go into college. Because maybe the 4-year college is not the right thing. Right. And this is a blasphemous sort of thing to say.
Yeah.
It's like, no, education is the way. It's like, it used to be.
It did. It used to be.
4-year colleges are too slow now. And I know this is blasphemous because people is like, no, you need a college degree. It's like, no, you don't.
You just need the knowledge.
You need the knowledge.
And it's out there for free almost.
Right. And some people need to grow up. You know, when you're 18, you're not an adult yet. So you need to go to college to learn how to become an adult.
Right.
But the skills development and all that, it's like, they're not going to teach you that in those classrooms. You have to be on YouTube. You need a ChatGPT.
Yes.
You need to be putting stuff together. Right. And learn whatever you're going to learn from college. Get your degree. That's all fine and dandy. Don't wait 4 years.
Right.
You need to learn GPT now.
Now. Yeah. Yeah. Because,
you know,
like you alluded to earlier, in five years, there may not, ChatGPT might not be the thing. We don't know what's going to happen in 5 years.
But I can tell you one thing. You will not be making money doing this.
Wow.
In 5 years. That's going to be it.
Wow.
I can, as a senior programmer, I can speak code faster than I can type now. I can go to a ChatGPT and say, give me an algorithm, some hash table thing to sort these blah, blah, blah. And it'll go, here's 100 lines of code. It's like, I can't type that fast.
Wow.
And that's just going to get faster and more accurate. More accurate is the key thing there. But the other thing is, you said into tech. The key thing, the other thing that's changed over the last 10, 15 years is tech used to mean the tech companies.
Mm-hmm.
The Microsoft, Amazon, Google, you know, all those guys.
Right.
But now tech is in everything. So you could go work for a cosmetics company and there's going to be tech.
Right.
Right. Whether it's in the science of how you come up with the cosmetics or the logistics of how you get it on the market or the advertising and marketing of it, it's all tech now. So your options are greater. It's like, okay, everything's tech. Yeah. Unless you're digging trenches, and even there you're probably using a tractor that's GPS guided. So you know, everything is tech. So the key is find your passion. What are you really into?
Mm-hmm.
And then find the tech angle to that.
Yeah.
Like if you're into eating, maybe it's about building robots to serve in McDonald's, you know, or whatever it is. Maybe it's robotics, maybe it's automation of the supply chain,
mm-hmm.
but there's a tech thing in there, right?
Right.
So the advice I give people now is really think hard about your passion. Don't mm-hmm. think about, I'm going to go learn Python.
Right.
You know, think hard about your passion. What do you care about? Right. Learn the proper tools, mm-hmm. you know, go learn you some ChatGPT. And then think about the industry you want to be in, find the tech angle to it, and figure out what you need to learn to provide some tech input to that. Right.
Mm, okay.
And the reason we're saying tech is because at this moment, tech still gets a salary premium versus non-tech.
Right.
Right. There's a difference between being the receptionist at a dentist's office and being the dentist. Right.
Exactly.
There's a difference between being the person who can tell the computer how to work versus the person that just uses the computer.
Right.
And the number of people that are just using the computer is going to continue to diminish.
Exactly.
Because of
ChatGPT.
You don't need that person who used to generate the weekly report anymore.
Wow.
That's a one sentence prompt.
Yeah. Wow.
Right?
Yeah. That's wow. Saying it like that, it sounds scary, you know.
But not if you're properly equipped. Now, I'm telling it to you, so you shouldn't be scared. It's only scary if you don't know it's coming.
Well, that's true. That's true.
So when people are listening to your podcast, they know it's coming.
They should know what's coming. I hope y'all know it's coming. No. So if you didn't know it's coming, you know it's coming now.
You know it's now.
And you got to go out there and learn you some ChatGPT.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and you're doing your part. You're doing your part. I want to get into the event.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, "What event? What event?" That's the name of it, y'all.
What are you talking about, man?
The event. So, talk to us about what the event is and how that is helping other Black people get into this gracious industry.
Yeah. So the event isn't about the tech industry specifically. It's more mm-hmm. about how do you empower people to own, to have equity in something that's of value. So it's the best way of thinking about it is a community level hackathon. But the difference is in your typical hackathon, if anyone's ever participated, it's a lonely pursuit and there's a winner at the end mm-hmm. and everyone else is a loser, right? It's like they pick a winner. It's like, oh, I won the hackathon. It's like, okay. The event is slightly different and it's a combination of if TED Talks are ideas worth having, right?
Okay.
The event is ideas worth implementing. So you have a problem. You know, you go into a community and the community is awash in plastics, you know, trash, right? Bottles, cans, whatever, plastics. Mm-hmm. And it's a problem for them because they don't have enough landfill space and the plastic's just piling up in a warehouse or whatever it is.
Right.
Okay, it's a problem. What's the solution? I don't know. So let's gather some smart people from around the world.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
Right? The experts in plastics management, and have them work with this community to solve this problem, right? Okay. There are plenty of places in the world where dealing with piles of plastic is a done solution, right? But maybe in my local community, I've never heard of it. And I don't have access to those experts. Well, the event does. You know, I know people. I know people all over the place that are experts in all sorts of things, and they're willing to come. You know, and participate. So you get them, you state the problem. It's, let's say, a 5-day thing. You state the problem. You have some people talk about various solutions, and then you get to hacking with these experts.
Wow.
Right.
That's so all, it's wow. like, okay, that sounds like fun.
Let's come up with the solution. I always bring up plastics because it's an easy one to understand. There is a process, for example, called pyrolysis, which is just heating something up in the absence of oxygen so it doesn't burn. And then when you do that with plastics, just take a bunch of plastic, put it in a container, close the lid, heat it up.
Okay.
Have a pipe coming off the top of it. What's going to come out of that process is the oil, which plastic came from, is going to come back out. You're going to break down the polymer links and the oil is going to come out. You're creating essentially diesel fuel by heating up the plastic.
Wow.
And the other byproduct is what's still left in the barrel after all the oil has come off is what we call biochar. It's the carbon part of it.
Mm-hmm.
That you can take and mix in with your soil as a soil amendment, and you're going to have more fertile soil, right? So you've taken your pile of your mountain of plastic, you've turned it into a fuel and a bio thing, and you're a happy camper. So the event is a place where you would come and come up with a solution like that. And then the community can say, okay, we've come up with our own pyrolysis plant and we own it because we welded it together. We had some modifications that we did. It's ours. We own the IP. Now we can sell it, right?
Wow.
This community owns the IP for that thing that they came up with. And they can now sell it to other communities that have a similar problem space.
Hence the equity.
Yeah, the equity, right?
Wow.
So it's not like, wait, great, we came up with it and Monsanto swooped in and grabbed all the credit and now they're selling it, making all the money and we don't get anything.
Right.
It's like, no, you're teaching them how to hack their own problem. So there's a structure for how do you get a group of people to work together.
Wow.
And communicate, nonviolent communication, all sorts of things.
That right there is priceless.
Yes. So you got to teach all this.
Okay.
And okay, you solve that problem. Now they have another problem that comes up. It's like food security, right? Homelessness, whatever. Pick your problem. And you say, well, we taught you how to gather together and how to ideate together and how to come up with a solution together. Just tackle the next problem. And if you need any help with experts in the field, we've got a network.
Wow.
We know people. So that's what the event is about. It's about just having, gathering together people and showing them how to solve their own problems while gaining an equity position in the solution, right?
Wow.
Because that's what's missing from all of this,
exactly.
this stuff. It's like, you can go work for Microsoft. You'll get some shares of stock. But truly, we need to be inventing our own stuff and being the equity owners of our own stuff. And that's how you truly build wealth
exactly.
over time.
Exactly. Right? So I'm curious. It sounds amazing. What was it that sparked that? What was it that was it a certain? Was it something in your life? Was it something that happened? And you said, darn it, I'm doing
equity.
This.
Well, the key thing is equity. So I noticed that a lot in our Black communities, we're heavy on the high paycheck, mm-hmm. right? It's like, yeah, go get that big paycheck. Right. We're not so much into the whole equity game. You know, it's mm-hmm. It's not something we were taught as children. It's like, well, son, you need to get some shares of IBM and that's going to pay you dividends over the right. next 20. You know, it's like, no, that is not a conversation that was at our dinner table.
Right.
So, but that is in fact how you have intergenerational wealth development, is by having an equity share of something, right? I mean, we're talking tech because right. that's what we're talking about.
Or just in general.
So in general, it's like, yeah, you need an equity share of things. So, okay, then we need to create the mechanisms whereby it's natural for people to think about and see how you create equity in something, right? So it is just readily apparent to me. It just came from this thing of helping people get jobs in tech. And it's like, well, what's the most serious thing there? Sorry, I have a beeping thing going off here. It's my CO2 carbon monitor. So it's the most important thing is to say you need to get equity in something. How do we do that? Mm-hmm. What is the vocabulary? What is equity in the first place? Mm. How do you retain it? Where do you get patents and, you know, licensing and all these other sorts of things? It just became apparent to me from living, breathing, and gaining equity in a tech company and saying, well, not everyone's going to be able to do what I did, this path. So what else?
Right.
Right. How do we get equity in anything? So let's get to that.
Wow.
Right.
Wow. That's wow. And it sounds like you guys not only are you teaching and passing on information and teaching these individuals how to, you know, get equity in the game. But it sounds like it was fun. It sounds like it's a load of fun. I mean, just being able to for lack of a better term, hack these problems and find solutions and then turn around and get the patents for those, whatever they found out.
Whatever it is.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So if someone was interested in the event, that's what it's called, the event. Now, when you guys go out there and look for it, it's EV. That second E is actually three. Backwards. It's three. It's a three. So if you want to find it on the internet, it's actually www.theev3ntevent.com. So keep that in mind, y'all. Or just Google it. But
go to my website, the William A. Adams. .com website,
and they can just is this something they have to register for, or do they just show up, or how does
that work? you wouldn't know where an event was happening unless you were like talking to us and
okay
getting in the mix and all that sort of stuff.
Secret like that. Okay, all right.
Yeah, secret like that. I mean just to give you the flavor of it, and we're not doing this yet, but it'll get as crazy. My dream mm-hmm. is that someday, like, let's imagine we're doing an event around clean water, you know,
okay. just
how to get clean water. And there's perhaps somebody who's located in a refugee camp in Syria, some professor who figured out how to use rice husks to make a filter for clean water, right?
Okay.
I will go and find that guy and pluck him out of that refugee camp and bring him to an event, wow. you know. Because it's like, well, you're the world's expert on this really novel thing. We found you. We read your papers. You know, will you come with us? You know, wow. that's where I want to get to. It's like human ingenuity is everywhere on the planet. Let's put it to work for these communities that normally don't have access to that kind of that level of intelligence. Right.
Wow. Wow. That's
awesome. Where you want to get to. That's the aspirational. It's like, I will.
You got
to
speak
people from anywhere.
Yeah, you got to speak those things as if they were. So that's where you're going to get to. We're behind you 100%. We know you're going to do it because you've done everything else in your life. So
why not? This is what my brother tells me all the time. He's like, when have you ever failed at anything?
Exactly. And remember, you're all that. So you're all that. So you're going to get
all that.
All right. So if someone wants to get a hold of William A. Adams. How can they, other than the website, how can they get a hold of William A.? How can they reach out and just get all of this good old information?
Well, they can go to the website, mm-hmm. william-a-adams.com, and I have my socials there, you know, so okay. There's all the little icons for all the little social media things. I say reaching out on one of those things like LinkedIn, you can message me, or, you know, we do tweets on X every once in a while. LinkedIn's probably the best way.
Okay.
Because that's the most mature of those platforms.
Yes.
So
you mentioned X and I went, but go ahead.
You got to do what you got. You got to go where the people are.
Man, William A. Adams, we appreciate you stopping through. And this was an awesome interview. A lot of information. And from somebody that was on the inside. You know, not from somebody just speaking as, you know, as oh, if I was on the inside, this is what, no, he was actually in the trenches and came with all this great knowledge. We appreciate you. We appreciate all you've done and all that you're going to do. And hats off to you. Again, Life Strong family, thanks for tuning in. Remember, our lives are fleeting. Cherish it. Our lives are ever changing. Adapt to it. And your life is yours. You gotta live it, all right? Until next time, Life Strong family, we're out.
Thanks for listening to the Life Strong Project.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State, 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.